Abu Mekhnafa. However, they had some discrepancies. I mean, at times, for example, this version was in stark difference from another version. Yes. Okay? And this was one of the impetus for Ayatollah Muhammad Hadi Yusufi Gharavi to work out a reconstructed version of it. But for your information, I should like to say that, I mean, in lesser than 8 or 10 years ago, Imam al-Hussein's Holy Shrine, I mean, its publication, research and publication division, published a book in 3 volumes, Mawsu'at al-Maqatil al-Husayniya, Encyclopedia of Imam Hussein's Maqtals, Imam Hussein's martyrdom accounts. In this book, which is available in Arabic in 3 volumes, various accounts of martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam are indicated. To my amazement, I found a version entitled The Maqtal, written by Al-Mujashi'i. Granted that there had been various versions of the same book bearing the title Abu Mekhnaf's account, what's important in this regard is that it shows that the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was really very, thought-provoking event, such that even in the harshest times of the Umayyad dynasty, and particularly Abbasid dynasty, some important historians devoted the energies to this case.
Right.
But at the same time, I should like to say that perhaps it was because of some historians who were, in fact, court historians, that they were able to reconstruct the event of Karbala in terms of some earlier generations of those people who taken part in the event. Other than this, I mean, from the point of the hadiths, we can rarely find any details about martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein al-Issa.
That's all right. And this is the role of the committed historians.
Yes.
To the history of Islam and the Shiite worlds, we can say, who dedicated their life in narrating the story, especially the story and the narrative of the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, called Maqtal al-Hussein, which are in different variations and different scholars. And inshallah, in our upcoming session, we'll dedicate the program, the teacher, to the other authors too, who will spend their time. Thank you very much, Dr. Farhwani, for a nice elaboration. And Sheikh Mahdavi, thank you very much. Brother, it was very kind of you, and thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher, talking about Abu Mekhnaf, the author of Maqtal al-Hussein. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/en/call-of-Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanullah.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of iRib English Radio, Call of Islam page. Welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. Stay tuned.
به نام زهرای مرضیه کانون این خانواده تشکیل شده سوره هل اتاس.
The family of Hazrat Fatima to Zahra is admired by Allah in Surah Al-Insan, Ayah 8. One of the main reasons is their charitable works. Imam Ali alayhi salam and Hazrat Fatima used to distribute food freely among the poor people. They also helped the needy and orphans. We, as ordinary people, have to learn from the lifestyle of Hazrat Fatima and Imam Ali alayhi salam. Giving charity and spending money in Allah's path is very much recommended in Islam.
اخلاص.
One of the other features of Imam Ali and Hazrat Fatima was their sincerity. They spent for the cause of Allah and no one else. They didn't expect others' admirations or thanksgiving. They also wanted Allah's pleasure in all their deeds. In better words, if we as a Muslim family trust in Allah and do all our deeds only for His sake, we can be called a Fatimi family too. Thank you very much, dear listeners of iRib English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Rafi'i. To find out more about this program, log on to our website parstoday.com/en Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
The evolution of robots has been one of the fascinations of recent technological developments. And now the most cutting-edge achievements in that department were presented to the public during a conference in Beijing. The four-day annual World Robot Conference was held both offline and online. It featured three major events, including forum, expo, and competition. On display were more than 500 sets of robots from 130 companies from China and abroad. The conference gave an idea of how the future of humanity will be impacted by the automations. It shows how they can contribute to different sectors, from the restaurant industry and medicine to elderly care, agriculture and manufacturing. An inflatable building that explores how people would potentially live on Mars has been unveiled in the British city of Bristol. It's a two-story structure with an area of 570 square feet, powered by solar panels. It's designed to cope with temperatures as low as minus 63 degrees Celsius. Although the Martian house will be displayed above ground, its lower level will be fully buried to maximize protection against the harsh environment on Mars. Inside, the top floor features a hydroponic living room filled with decorative plants that feed into a circular wastewater system. A team of experts helped develop the design, taking into consideration the complexity of transporting materials to the Red Planet and what is already there.
So in the gold inflatable structure, which you see above you, that's the main living space of the Martian house. It's gold to reflect dangerous solar rays and cosmic radiation, and it's inflatable because it would be filled with a special concrete made of the dust and water that you find on Mars, again to protect you from those dangerous solar and cosmic rays.
The Martian house was envisioned by local artists 7 years ago. The artists also brought together space scientists, architects, engineers, designers, and even school children. The space-age dwelling explores what a house on Mars could be like and is meant to for research and experiments about the future. The major objective of the project, however, is to provoke questions about living more sustainably with the resources at hand here on Earth. Japanese plastic food artisans are showcasing their mouth-watering artificial creations at an exhibition in Japan's capital city, Tokyo. From the Leaning Tower of Pizza to fish slicing and cooking, or even the quirky stacked pancakes, you can find almost everything at the exhibit. Other sculptures, including a deep-fried shrimp with four breaded legs scaling a mountain of shredded cabbage like a tiger. Another creation on display is a Tetris game made of chicken. Plastic food artists get really excited for the exhibition each year as they are given a chance to practice their own spin on creativity, bringing food to life with curious characters.
So normally we have to follow orders from clients. We take their views on board when we're making items. Normally that's our work. But for the competition, you can use your imagination. How it finally ends up is totally up to you. I like that aspect of it.
There are some 60 sculptors on display. Some are silly, but others highlight the artist's skills. The models were made with the same careful detail as the rock-solid noodle soups and crispy-looking plastic snacks on display outside Japanese restaurants. There is a lucrative business for them in Japan.
Deforest management plays a key role in mitigating climate change. Like many world countries, China has accelerated environmental and social structural changes in urban spaces to deal with this pertinent issue. The Donggu Forest Park is one such project that has provided city dwellers enough space to breathe. It comes into being from what local people usually called rotten woods. The park on the northern bank of the Xiaolinge River covers an area of nearly 120 hectares. Nobody would come there before, as the place was full of flies and mosquitoes. But now, with the environment improved and water cleaned in the river, the place has turned into a wonderland, attracting locals and even foreign tourists.
Now the sky is blue, the water clean and the air fresh, with green greeting you wherever you go. The elderly play Tai Chi or do bodybuilding exercises here. Young people play football, basketball and table tennis.
Over the past 20 years, a large number of cities in China have undergone a brief but rapid urban expansion. Most of these cities are now facing social problems such as an aging population and a high prevalence of chronic diseases. A comprehensive environmental improvement program in the area was initiated in 2014 in order to create space for those who want to take a break from their everyday works.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Whilst not being as painful as a broken limb, animals like humans suffer from chronic and acute pain from gum infections, broken teeth, and bacterial spread through the circulation. A 16-year-old elephant in Pakistan is one such case. Madhubala, suffering for years from a dental infection caused by a broken tusk, has finally got relief thanks to vets, dentists. Named after a legendary Indian actress, Madhubala's eyes were taped shut, her legs tied to support her during sedation and subsequent treatment at a Karachi zoo. The vets had to use drills and other heavy surgical tools to extract the infected tusk. She is one of four African elephants being treated in Karachi by an eight-member team from Global Animal Welfare Group, Four Paws. A Pakistani court last year asked Four Paws to assess the health of the animals after local animal rights activists raised concerns about their well-being. England's Paradise Wildlife Park welcomes its new guest, an endangered red panda cub. The mother, Tilly, gave birth to the cub just 1 month after she lost her breeding partner, Nampang. Experts say Tilly had been under a breeding project for 4 years. The cub has been named Little Red, and his birth is being celebrated as a, quote, symbol of hope. Red pandas are classed as an endangered species and are on the red list of the International Union for Conservation of Nature. The bushy-tailed bamboo munchers dwell in high-altitude Asian forests, and their population is now fewer than 2,500. Lightning strikes are very powerful and misunderstood force of nature that we all often see being used in films. A spectacular lightning strike has illuminated the sky over the Scottish town of Dundee. A video from an eyewitness that captured the hypnotic scene has been shared on several social media platforms. The lightning in the clip can be seen sending several bolts in opposite directions. Below, a church spire is silhouetted against the lightning flashes. But lightning is not always spectacular, as sometimes it causes fire to tower and high-rises. Last month, a wind turbine caught fire after being struck by a lightning bolt in North Texas, United States. forestry authorities in southwestern China have opened a new canteen for wild Asian elephants in a bid to stop them wandering into villages. The canteen in Yunnan province provides the animals with attractive and nutritious meals while exploring man-animal harmonious coexistence. During these years, the province has explored multiple ways to reduce the encounters between humans and elephants and try to keep the animals away from farmers' crops. There are now approximately 1,400 hectares of dining halls for elephants, with menu expanding from 100 to 240, such as corn, rice, and sugarcane. They are planted on a large scale and within easy reach of the elephants. The location of such canteens is extremely selective, usually away from villages and major roads, and the chefs are locals.
Stunning scenes in Spain as the last supermoon of the year illuminates the night sky amid fireworks and fairs marking the start of festivities for a public holiday. In Malaga, fireworks left the sky a mix of colors against the bright moon. There was also a spectacle of drones that lightened the sturgeon moon. Locals in the Canary Islands also celebrated the three-day holiday by lighting up a Ferris wheel as the full moon beamed beautifully in the sky. If the moon is within 10% of its closest distance to Earth at the moment of full moon, it is called a supermoon. The supermoon has various hues and appears bigger and brighter than when the moon is at its farthest point from Earth. Have you ever heard of fighting nature with nature? Well, that's what the San Francisco metro system in the U.S. did to stop pigeons from overrunning the place. The station has hired a hawk as the new guard to patrol the area. Pac-Man is a five-year-old Harris's hawk who has taken up the perch at the station. In terms of experience, he is pretty new, as he finished training only 9 months ago. The station recently renovated its building, installing netting and spikes to prevent pigeons from nesting. But these birds still seem to find their way to hang around. So with the Falconer Force, Ricky Ortiz and his hawk were hired this summer to keep the pigeons at bay.
So a typical day is we get here, we make our round, we start off down in the bottom inside the facility, making sure there's no pigeons hanging out in there. And then we work our way up here to the platforms and just check the ledges and the roof and make sure that they're not trying to sneak in on us and keep them out. And he does a pretty good job of that.
The team patrols 3 days a week and Pac-Man is allowed to swoop in and scare any pigeons sitting around. The Falconer says less than half of the pigeons left after the first week of Pac-Man flying and establishing the territory. Commuters and station managers say they also noticed the difference. The Falconer says he usually keeps his feathery friend happy on the job by giving him snacks throughout the day. This also encourages the hawk not to feast on the pigeons and local rodents.
Technology helps transform the global food production system and mitigates its impact on the environment. China's autonomous region of Tibet is turning barren land into fertile one using greenhouse technology. Once removed, Beinan County is now the largest off-season vegetable supplier in Tibet. The region has taken advantage of its highland conditions to develop a state-of-the-art agricultural structure. Beinong has now more than 2,200 modern vegetable greenhouses and nearly 12,000 hectares of planting area, some built at unimaginable altitude. But one cannot deny the role of railways and highway transport for making this county a hub for organic vegetables. The income of locals has also been significantly improved, and they are now living a happy and prosperous life. Yeah.
last Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
Almighty Allah, you are a true God.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to the program The Last Savior. I'm your host, Zainab Askari. Today in our studio, we have had the pleasure to invite Dr. Ali Alavi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much, and thanks for inviting me to your show.
Oh, well, we had been talking about the common points between Mahdaviyat and the event of Ashura and the uprising of two imams, or on what note it had been in the time of Imam Hussein al-Islam and on what common point it would be in the time of Imam Mahdi ajallahu ta'ala faraja. We discussed some points. We discussed the first thing was to fight ignorance. And there were different forms of ignorance. There was lack of knowledge towards Imam, lack of knowledge towards the Book of God. There was change between what is Ma'ruf and what is Munkar. There was attention to the worldly desires. And then the second point was to establish Islamic government. Then we discussed reviving the concept of enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. And then we discussed social justice. Mm-hmm. As the list goes on, what were the common points you discussed in the earlier episodes? You said that there is social reforms, the next thing. So I would want you to explain this for the listeners.
Reforms actually was, again, one of the goals and aims of the prophets of God, the divine prophets. And we have seen it in the conduct and seerah of the earlier prophets as well. And it has been repeated even in Quran. The word islah, that is reforms, has been repeated 12 times in different chapters of Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, Hud, Qasas, A'raf, Nisa, An'am, Nur, wa Shawra. Mm-hmm. So it has been actually repeated in a couple of times, as okay. I said. Well, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تُفْسِدُ فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدَ إِصْلَاحًا وَادْعُوهُ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا إِنَّ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ قَرِيبٌ مِنَ الْمُحْسَنِينَ. That is, do not corrupt the world after it has been reformed. What the word was reformed. Because the first time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates the word, it was with a reform. Actually, when actually he sends his first prophet, that is Adam alayhi salam, mm-hmm. he introduces the reforms. So Allah wants the people not to corrupt the world after the reforms that this great prophet of God has created on this, okay. you know, the same goes for the other prophets.
Yeah.
Imam Baqir alayhi salam says that the earth was corrupted at the time of the dawn of Islam.
Yeah.
And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and reformed
it.
The society and made some reforms in the society.
Yeah.
So again, we are the addressee of that verse of Quran. وَلَا تُفْسِدُ فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْدِ إِصْلَاحِهَا. That when it was reformed and the reforms are done, do not corrupt it. But yeah. what happened after the Holy Prophet of Islam? Did they really follow whatever the Prophet said? Did they really go the same lineage that the Prophet introduced, or they went something else?
Yeah.
Because it was in the last Hajj of the Prophet, very close to his demise, that he introduced that who is going to be succeeded.
And he was waiting there for number of days in the heat.
Let's say, and with useless and baseless reasons, they went to some other people.
Yeah.
And they put aside the one who was more eligible to be the leader of
the
Islam.
Who was already announced.
Yeah. Some said that he was very young. Some said that he was not that experienced. I don't want to get involved in that issue.
Yeah.
But being a young is not a case to put aside a one who has been appointed by God.
Yeah.
In case he was too young, so Isa, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, should basically be aside and not to be the leader of the Islamic Ummah. And while he was elected as the Prophet of God while he was in the arm of his mother.
Yeah.
See?
Take a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned. You're listening to IRIB English Radio.
I can feel your eyes like the sun shining behind the clouds. I need a morning this long night forever. I need a hero to stop this thousand-year-old
Again, we have in Al-Quran that Shu'aib the prophet told his qawm, his nation, إن أريد إلا الإصلاح ما استطعت وما توفيقي إلا بالله. I want the reforms among you people. They were giving him lots of, let's say, titles that you are collecting money. And he said, this is my duty as a prophet of God. I have to do reforms.
Yeah.
Again, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, who is the continuation of this divine messengers of God. Messengers are not mean the prophets. Yeah, no, they were imams.
Yeah.
But messengers as those who have the message of God and they wanted to distribute it among the people.
Yeah.
So he said in his letter to his brother Muhammad Hanafiya, and he said that, I'm coming again. I'm not actually leaving Medina just to create oppression and
to fight, to go for a battle, to do something for worldly desires.
No, yeah. I'm going to make Islah and reforms in the Ummah of my Prophet.
All right.
And all of us know that what happened after the Prophet. And the history tells us exactly what happened. Did the people really follow whatever the Prophet ordered or not?
Mm-hmm.
So he came to bring them back to the Muhammadan teachings, Muhammadan Islam.
Yes.
See? So this was his intention. This was his mission that he started and he actually went for.
Yeah.
Look, we said that this islah and this reform is a common factor between Imam Mahdi and Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Mm-hmm. Both of them are coming to make reforms. He wanted to make reforms in the Islamic Ummah of that time when it was deviated from the teachings of the Prophet.
Yes.
And Imam Mahdi alayhi salam comes again to do the same thing, to make reforms. In case Imam was not martyred, he was able to make those reforms in Islamic.
And even like when he was martyred, he did reforms.
The reforms in the larger scale, I mean, to introduce them to the Islamic Ummah, I mean.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. With his blood, these reforms stayed there. And actually, I want to say that the totality of the movement of the Islamic Ummah was not
the way it was. We have this one of the very famous quotes in Urdu that says, "Qatl-e Hussain, asal mein marg-e Yazid hai, Islam zinda hota hai har Karbala ke baad," which means killing of Imam Hussain al-Islam is actually the death of Yazid.
Mm-hmm.
Islam gets revived after every Karbala.
Exactly, very beautiful. Imam Hussain al-Islam wanted to make reforms in the Islamic nation of the Holy Prophet that he was living in. The same will happen to Imam Mahdi al-Islam. That he is going to reform in a society which has lots of problems from political, social, cultural, economic, and from different aspects.
Yeah.
So they have been, again...
Same, this is again one of the common points.
Lots of distortions, again, in the religions, in the Abrahamic religions, and the Islamic religion in different denominations inside the Islamic Ummah, again.
Yeah.
Those righteous people will come and make such reforms, definitely.
Yeah.
And this is what Imam will do. And we can easily see that what kinds of reforms are needed, definitely in the issue of culture, in the issue of economy. Are we seeing justice? Are we seeing a good culture to be introduced to the world among all nations that are living? And when we are talking about the necessity of the presence of Imam, we are not only thinking about the Islamic Ummah that we are living. No, we are thinking for the whole world.
Yes.
Imam is going to be the leader of the whole world, not only a small community.
Okay.
So aren't we really seeing the necessity of advent of or the arrival of Imam in our today's life?
Of course.
Do we see justice here? Do we see...
economic justice. There's no social justice. There's no political justice. There's justice in no field that we are witnessing right now in any of the countries of the world.
Definitely. So let's pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten his reappearance and inshallah bring us that baqiyat Allah, the reserve of God, to come and inshallah give us the chance to live in his own government.
Inshallah. Allahumma ajal waliyak al-faraj. Dr. Halevi, I'll continue the discussion with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIP English Radio. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is The Last Savior. We're talking about the common points between Maithaviyat and Ashura. Well, so far we discussed about fighting ignorance, establishing Islamic government, reviving the concept of enjoining good and forbidding the evil. We talked about social justice. We talked about social reforms. What next, Dr. Alavi?
Yeah. Now we want to go to the next common point between concept of Mahdawiyah and the Imam Hussein's uprising, yeah, or let's say the event of Karbala. What relations can be seen among these two? We actually talked about some issues, some factors. Now we want to talk about the next one, which is fighting with bid'ahs or innovations.
Okay.
What is an innovation? Innovation is to bring something into religion which was not really there. So this is called bid'ah.
Okay.
And bid'ah is haram, to inject or to
add something.
To add something to the religion, or even to decrease something from the religion. To add or subtract something from the religion.
Yeah.
So this is called bid'ah. And we have been warned by the Holy Prophet, whenever you see any bid'ah in your lifetime, in the religion, do not hesitate and remove it. So Imam Hussein saw lots of bid'ah from the government of the time, from Muawiyah.
Yeah.
What did he do? One of his actions, one of the bid'ahs that he did, Muawiyah, he changed the Khalifa into a sort of, let's say, something as a kingdom.
Okay.
So Khalifa is something that actually is a divine post, is a divine, let's say, mission.
Yeah.
It cannot be. Allah ya'lamu haythu yaj'al risalata.
Yeah.
This is Allah who knows whom should be selected to lead the Islamic Ummah or to lead the Ummahs,
yeah,
or nations. This is not something at the hand of the people.
Yeah.
He changed it because even he himself came to the power with pressure, with, let's say, oppression. Again, he changed it to a kingdom and he selected his own son as his successor.
Okay.
Or massacre that what had happened to the lovers of Imam Ali alayhi salam at the time of Muawiyah and even after him in the event of Harra in Medina at the time of Yazid. And the changes and, let's say, bid'ahs that happened in, let's say, in rituals. For example, once they well to set up Friday public prayer in, let's say, Wednesday.
Yeah.
So they did it. Or insulting Imam Ali alayhi salam and different members. It was a sort of, let's say, compulsory action or obligatory action for all the Friday leaders to insult and to say bad words on Imam Ali alayhi salam, who was one of the companions of the Holy Prophet.
Yeah.
It was something that in case they left it and they did not do it in a member or in a khutbah or in a sermon, they were criticized and they had to be responsive to the higher hierarchies.
Okay.
You see? So these were the bid'ahs and more of this kind. Let's say drinking wine and, I don't know, the king himself. Other actions that we are not going to actually count all in each of them.
Okay.
So this was the kind of Islamic government that was going to rule over the Islamic Ummah. So Imam found his duty, it was sort of wajib on him, compulsory on him to what? To go and do reforms and to fight with these bid'ahs, with innovations.
All right. So today we discuss about the innovations that were in the time of Imam Hussein al-Islam. And in next session, I would want you to discuss innovations that Imam Mahdi is going to
Inshallah.
Fight in his own time. And you said bid'ah or innovation is something that is added into the religion or that is eliminated from the religion. Thank you so much, Dr. Alavi, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners.
Thanks, dear sister.
You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum. A very warm welcome to IRIB English Radio. This is Back to Reality. I am your host, Zainab. We have a roundtable discussion, we listen to what is being said, we deduce the best things out of it, and that's how we come back to reality. Well, today in our studio we have with us very two special guests. I have Asma on my right hand and brother Mehdi Najafi on my left side. Assalamu alaikum to both of you.
Assalamu alaikum, it's good to be here.
Wa alaikum assalam, sister. Very happy to be here with you.
Same here. Asma, would you like to give a little intro? I know you. But
yes.
Just for audience.
Yes, of course. I am Asma, and I have been studying English literature for so long. I'm a deep dive fan of literature, and it's been a while that I'm being here in radio as well.
Well,
at
it's
the
a
service
of
the audience.
Again, Brother Najafi, we'd want to hear from you.
I'm Mehdi, and that's all I am. I have studied business, finance and management, and I am a student in the seminary of Qom.
Well, Asma, starting from you, we have seen science doing a lot of progress.
Mm-hmm.
And if we go to the recent thing, we have seen this James Webb Space Telescope, the most powerful telescope. There were some pictures taken up and
that have been so viral right now.
Yeah.
Everybody's so talking about
how that. Do you see that? What do you say about that?
So there is this photo that shows you the entire universe from a perspective that everything is clear. All the galaxies, all the stars, everything. Everything has been considered in it. So you can see the entire universe from a upper perspective.
An aerial picture.
Yeah, a real picture. That is amazing. You know, when you look at it, you just can't stop gazing and getting more. You just think, okay, where am I in this entire universe? So when you look at that picture...
Okay, so Asma was looking for herself in that picture. So what about you, brother?
Did you find yourself?
No, of course not. I will never find myself in those photos because we're so tiny little creatures. We're not even considered to be existing.
Yeah.
After watching that photo,
which is why I'm surprised that you were actually looking for yourself in the first place.
You know, I was asking myself, how do you prove you exist?
Brother, how do you see that?
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful the fact that the human race has gotten so far. It's very beautiful. It's tremendous.
Okay.
You know, how we have progressed as a human race from, you know, sticks and stones.
And still, I guess we know nothing.
Precisely.
This is just the beginning. You
know? Yeah, and yeah, compared to sticks and stones, we see ourselves far beyond that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's amazing how we've managed to do that. But there's, besides the fact that you mentioned, Sister Asma, about us feeling insignificant when you look at that photo,
yeah.
There's another thing that comes to my mind is, suppose,
yeah,
suppose we could travel all those galaxies. So if I'm not mistaken, it's the Carina Nebula,
mm-hmm.
and that is in that image. And yeah, suppose we could go from galaxy to galaxy, right? And with the theories, we've got certain theories that they say it's not a single universe, it's a multiverse, you know? People
yeah,
say it's
yeah.
multiverse.
Multiverse.
Yeah, you know? And suppose that we could travel all these multiverses, quote unquote. Yet, if we reach all these possible existence, yet we cannot reach someone who, or that power, which has caused this, I think it's a long journey with no gain.
That if we travel all these universes around us,
yeah.
if there was such a possibility,
yeah.
still we could have never been able to see God, the creator of this universe.
Yeah, see God like physically? No. What I mean is,
no, of course,
if I can actually go all these galaxies, I know, like
from
multiverse travel,
from,
you know,
mm-hmm, yeah.
if that's possible,
right.
if that happens, yet I fail to realize that there is a power. Which has caused this, right?
Uh-huh.
And I fail to acknowledge that.
Yes.
I think all this travel, all mm-hmm. this progress from sticks and stones to multiverse travel is, you know, it's
there's
it's
yet
no
to
way,
be on,
you know,
like there are miles to go. You mean, so like there are miles
yeah.
to go to see the crew.
I don't know if I've mentioned this before in this show, and I unfortunately forgot. It's a philosopher who... I think it's his last name is Kant. Yeah, so Immanuel Kant has said something so beautiful. He said that back in the day, we used to travel by foot,
yeah.
right? And then we, or horses, right? We had horses, then we had carriages, then we had like chariots, and now we've got cars and planes, right?
Yeah.
And now, right, and we had tools, different tools. To kill someone, right, which is not a good thing, you'd throw a rock. A stone,
okay.
swords, arrows, guns, pistols, bombs, right? Now, we have developed, in terms of travel, right?
Yeah.
We have developed...
In terms of technology?
Yeah, we travel fast,
yeah.
right? We kill fast now.
Yeah.
You know, we kill for a longer distance, right? But in terms of purpose, the human race, in terms of purpose...
It's still lagging behind.
Is static.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's static. From that age to right now, have you... What's the purpose? All right, you are traveling at a higher speed. Where to?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In terms of purpose,
yeah.
we're still static.
We are. Indeed, we are.
Yes, of course.
Telling me, if when I was looking over those images, like Brother said, I looked on those under my computer or wherever you looked on them, I said with myself, فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ.
Yeah, of course.
Well,
there's an interesting point about that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about the creation of the universe, he doesn't say that. Where does he say that?
Creating a human
yeah.
being.
A human being.
Well.
No, not even just a human being. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the completion of the human body, right?
Yeah.
Now there's nothing left. The body's done. Allah says... Then another creation
mm-hmm.
was created. Like he, from that creation, another creation was generated within that creation. That's when Allah says, "Fadabarakallahu ahsan al-khaliqeen."
Well, right? I was not saying when Allah does say that. I was saying when I say it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But yeah. Right.
Whenever I see new things in this universe, I see new beautiful things, I really want to repeat that verse again and again. It automatically comes into my mind.
Wow, so nice. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when the other creation was added to it, right? That's when he said, "Fatabarakallahu hasan al-khaliqeen." What was the other creation? In other verses, we see it's ruhi. Allah says, from my spirit, from my soul, right? But why is it that it causes this immense praise from the Lord himself? It's because that creation has that capacity to be directly connected to what? Ruhi. Allah's
soul.
Allah's existence, right? Yeah. Because, yeah.
All
so
right.
When you are, that creation that is within you has been affiliated directly now and consciously to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you could do marvels.
True. I'll be continuing this discussion with you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Back to Reality.
We are discussing James Webb Space Telescope, the most powerful telescope. There were some pictures taken up, and
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam says,
I wanted to say that.
Az'amta annaka jirmun saghir wa fika al-'alam al-akbar.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
Do you think you're a mere little creature, like, you know, but within you is the greater universe.
Exactly.
Your wish was granted.
That is it. Yes. Looking at that photo, you just start thinking about yourself and the purpose of life and how short life is comparing to that entire universe. And as the brother says, multi-universes, that's something very incredible.
Exactly. And like as brother also gave the references from Imam Ali al-Islam and the philosopher as well, like we are static somewhere and we are moving fast somewhere else. Human being has been able to do tremendous
improvements in the terms of science and technology.
Tech, but it mostly seems to be in terms of disaster, his own desire to fulfill his own desires in terms of
I'm not going to discredit the people who worked for it, though.
As Imam Ali al-Islam said, that there's a universe within you. Even we have failed to understand our bodies yet. I mean, have we had understood our bodies fully, completely, there would have been no disease that was uncured.
Yeah.
So then, like, there's another universe within the soul itself.
Yeah, certainly. Like, the appendix recently is found that it has a purpose.
Yeah.
Like, before people used to say it's purposeless. The appendix was seen as purposeless.
Yeah.
Recent studies say that it has a purpose.
Yes, everything that is created has a purpose.
Actually, science is meant to make you believe more in God.
Yeah.
I believe so. But the problem is that nowadays,
looking at all that, what comes into my mind is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, like, whatever I have created is for your service. And then when you progress more, when you see what has been there in these universes and all that was for my service, you start to believe that how unthankful I have been towards him, how unthankful I have been towards his blessings. Thank you so much for being with us, guys. We were talking about how science has progressed and yet there are miles to go. As Imam Ali al-Islam says, that there's world within you which you have to
discover.
Yes, which you have to discover. Thank you, Asma. Thank you, dear listeners. You are listening to Back to Reality from IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
of all power, my need in my darkest hour, my Lord. Your light and love, all I seek, nothing more I'd ever want or need, my Lord.
My Lord,
protect me from dishonor, grant me faith to be stronger. Source of all mercy, infinite light for all to see, my Lord. Some claim to represent you, everything they do is so far away from you, my Lord. Help us to know you better, help us love one another.
Worst humanitarian crisis in the world.
Part 2.
Big dreams burn down in these flames. The dreams of a young man who wanted to conquer the world with petrodollars and an iron fist. On June 21st, 2017, international media reported that a silent coup was underway in the corridors of power in Riyadh. King Salman, the ailing Saudi monarch, deposed Mohammed bin Nayef, the crown prince, and his nephew, and replaced him with his own son, Mohammed bin Salman. But for many, it wasn't news. On January 10th, 2016, The Independent had published an article from Germany's intelligence agency that said they expected King Salman to officially introduce bin Salman as his successor and delegate power. At that time, almost 10 months had passed since the Saudi aggression on Yemen. During the 10 months, the horrifying aspects of the humanitarian crisis came to light. On June 14, 2015, 2 months after the war, the UN Office for Humanitarian Affairs reported the spread of dengue fever in Yemen and the deaths of 113 people. Only a few weeks later, on July 1st, the UN described Yemen as the worst humanitarian crisis in the world. Over 80% of the people needed immediate food and medical aid. The country is just one step away from famine. By besieging Yemen, bin Salman wanted to check the strength of the Ansarullah and Houthi forces and also trigger a popular uprising against the Ansarullah by cutting food supplies. Since the Saudi pilots weren't skilled